She and I just celebrated 24 years of marriage. Amen. Just this past December the 17th. And God has been good to me. I know it's been 24 years of a lot for her, because she's had to be married to me that whole time. But I'm glad to know that she was in good hands while she was here. Thank you for treating her so well. She spoke so highly whenever she came to fill the pulpit here, and was so excited to meet people with her same last name, her maiden name. Is that you guys back there, the Quiñones family, right? And Sam Quiñones, right? Which totally freaked us out, because that was her father's name, that is her brother's name, and that is your name. That's pretty cool. Well, my name is not Quiñones. It is Munyon, Earl Munyon to be exact, and there are also three of us. There is myself, of course. There is my dad, whom you do not know. And then there is my son, Earl Munyon, I think some of you might know him. He goes to Abundant Life Academy. He's a senior there this year, and we share the same name. So if there's any information you need to give me about him, that would be perfectly fine with me. Now, just a little bit of Earl Munyon trivia before we get into the word today, all right? One thing you should know about me is that I am Sicilian. Any other Sicilians here today? No other Sicilians. Well, now your life is complete. You've met a Sicilian, okay? And that's some people say Sicilian, Italian, what's the difference? Listen, when you're Sicilian, there's a difference, okay? Just know that, and we can talk about that another time. But at the same time, let me say to you that knowing that you know my wife and that we've been married for so long, my wife is not Sicilian, she's Puerto Rican, right? So that's a good thing to be. I'm excited about that. Let me tell you why I'm excited about that. I'm still excited about that because I can remember the day that I made it my prayer, God, I want to marry a Puerto Rican woman. And I gave God specifics. And then one day we met, and I'll talk about that in just a moment when we get into the word today. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what nationality you were before you married a Puerto Rican. Once you marry a Puerto Rican, you become Puerto Rican. How many understand that? It just kind of takes over, you know? And that's what happened in my life. People always ask me, and I get asked this all the time, are you Puerto Rican? And I have to say, well, let me explain the situation. Right? I'm Sicilian on my mother's side. My father's German, French, and English. And when my wife's grandmother was asking me, what are you? And I said, well, my mother is Sicilian. My father's German, French, and English. She said, ay, chico, tú eres una ensalada. You're a salad, she said to me. And so it's true. It's true. But when you, it doesn't matter. All that stuff sort of moves out of the way when you marry a Puerto Rican, because now we don't just celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Noche Buena, we celebrate El Día de los Tres Reyes, right? I mean, it's just wonderful. It's still Christmas in my house, okay? I'm glad you still got the tree up. I'm glad the manger is still here. That crown is wonderful. I didn't think it was for me, but I was tempted to put it on, you know. But so people ask me, are you Puerto Rican? I say, well, here's the thing. Yo soy boricua a través del matrimonio. That's how it works, right? And just in case they doubt me, I say, pa que tú lo sepa, because that's just how it is. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I'm Puerto Rican by marriage, and you know that. Because when I married a Puerto Rican, me convertí, and that was it. That's just how it goes, right? So again, thank you for having me this morning. Thank you for treating my wife so well. And any other people Puerto Rican by marriage here? Oh, so you know what I'm talking about then. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're either Puerto Rican or you're Puerto Rican by marriage. If you want to be Puerto Rican, we can have a Puerto Rican pray for you after service and you'll become Puerto Rican. But the truth of the matter is, you know, and I'll say this, maybe taking a risk saying this, there may be some evidence in the Bible that even God is Puerto Rican. Say, this guy, I don't know. Pastor Barnes, you better get back here quick because this guy is going. Listen, here's the evidence. It says in the Bible that an angel appeared to Mary, right? And later to Joseph. And listen, if God wasn't Puerto Rican, why did he say then you will give him the name Jesus? It just makes sense, doesn't it? God's Puerto Rican. He named his son Jesus. That's how it goes. Anyway. Please open your Bible to the real Word of God here. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is what we're going to look at today. When you find Deuteronomy chapter 6, you can say amen. I've messed around long enough today. Let's get into the word. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read in just a few moments verses 20 through 25. And I must say that I'm in shock at how quickly 2018 has gone by. Brother Sam was just sharing at the beginning of the service that, you know, we're on the brink of a brand new year. And that's true. It's just crazy how fast it goes by. Time just, it goes like that. And there's something exciting about that, because I don't know about you, but I like new stuff. Do you like new things? Right? I just do. There's something exciting about things that are new stuff, no matter what it is, whether it's a new year, right? Because it's a new beginning. And of course, now we've got all the people saying, oh, it's out with the old and it's in with the new, and this new me nonsense. Don't even go there, because one day is going to change and you're still going to be the same you were yesterday, right? That's the truth. But here's the thing. There is something exciting about a new thing. How many would agree with me on that, right? I mean, listen, did you open Christmas gifts this year? When you opened those Christmas gifts, was it something old? Was it something somebody had before? Or did it have the price tag ripped off the box because it was new? You know what I'm talking about, right? We thank God for new stuff. Have you ever gotten a new car, right? Or at least a car that's been refurbished and it's new to you. You get into that thing, and the first thing I like to do is smell, because it has the new car what? Smell, right? We got it. The car that I'm driving, it's parked around the block right now. We got it about a year ago, and I visited a friend of mine last Christmas, and he said, oh, let me see the car. So he comes out to the car, and first thing he did when he stuck his head in the door, he looked around. The thing was clean because it was still really new. It was only a few months old for us at the time. It's a 2013 Honda Pilot, and he looked in, and the first thing he said was, oh, man, it still has the, he didn't say the smell. He said it still has the schmell. I don't know what the schmell was, but apparently it's better than the smell, right? We like new stuff. You guys just got a new pastor this year, didn't you? Was that 2018? Has he still got the new pastor smell, right? I mean, come on now. We like new stuff, don't we? I love new things. And there's just something exciting about, you know, moving into a new house, getting a new job, because it's all about a fresh start. And we thank God that there's something exciting about a new day, because you know that it just comes with a new beginning, right? Now, believe it or not, you and I can have a new beginning more often than we even think. Because a new beginning, somebody say new beginning. A new beginning requires three very simple but very different looks. And when I say looks, I don't mean the way you look in terms of your appearance, but the direction in which you look. Amen? First of all, it requires a look back. How many know we got to take some time to look back, right? It requires a look back so that you can see where you've been. And then it requires a look around so that you can see where you are. I had to do that as I was driving up here, because it's been a long time since I've been in this building. And I didn't remember where it was or what the neighborhood looked like. And all of a sudden, aha, there it is. Now I know where I am because I looked around. But then it also requires a look ahead. And why do we need to look ahead? So we can see where we are what? Going. We can see the direction in which we're headed. Now, I was recently at the Newport Center Mall in Jersey City, doing some, yes, Christmas shopping, right? And I must confess it had been some time since I had been in that particular mall. And so I didn't remember where the store was that I was looking for. So when you don't know where something is, what should you do? You should, well, of course, you would ask, right? But I'm a man, right? So what? I don't ask. I don't need anybody's help. I'll just walk around the mall. And I'll look at the stores, and I'll try to find it myself. And that's a big mall. How many know that? You've been there, right? So I'm walking around the mall, and I can't find this place at all, and I'm not asking anybody any questions. So since I'm not going to ask, I'm going to try to find the mall what? Directory. Now, the other problem was I didn't know where that was either. Right, so now I'm walking around the mall. I finally find the mall directory, and now I find, what am I looking for in that mall directory? I want to figure out where I am. So I'm looking for that little arrow that says, you are here, right? So I find the arrow that says you are here, and finally I know where I am, and then I look up the store that I'm trying to find, and here's the thing. It had been so long since I've been to that mall that store was no longer in the mall. So I just wasted all this time walking around, looking around, not able to find what I needed, and, well, without asking anyone, and so that's just how it goes sometimes. But, you know, when it comes to looking around, when it comes to looking back, and when it comes to looking ahead, when it comes to your life and my life as followers of Jesus, remembering where we've been is so very important. And I want to talk to you this morning as we look at God's word about remembering what God has done. Amen? We're going to remember what God has done. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 20 through 25, and then we'll pray. This is what God's word says. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse number 20, it says, "In the future, when your son asks you, 'What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you?' tell him, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness.'" Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Mighty God, we thank you today for your goodness. We know this morning, God, that you have been so faithful to us every step of the way, every moment of our lives, from day to day, from situation to situation, right up to the present moment, Lord, you have been faithful. And God, there are times in our lives where we just need to stop and take inventory. And I pray today that you would help us to do that as we look into your word and as we continue to trust you, remembering all that you've done in 2018, understanding where we are right now, and looking ahead to this new year that is upon us. We thank you and we praise you for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. I want you to take some notes this morning because there's just some stuff that I think you'll want to remember, right? As we remember what God is doing, you don't want to forget these things. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel that had been delivered from Egypt, that had been delivered from slavery. And if you understand the comparison between them and us, we understand that Jesus delivered us from our sin. Amen? They had been delivered from that, and they were just a two-week journey from the promised land, just 2 weeks away. They had been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. An entire generation that was tested and failed the test had passed on, many of them, and now this new generation was poised to cross the Jordan, to conquer Canaan, and to come into a new beginning. That new land had that new smell, right? But before they did, before they got there, before they could take possession of that, Moses had to jog their memory. How many need to be reminded of stuff sometimes, right? I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of stuff. Now, a little bit more about me. I'm 46 years old. I get three different reactions usually when I say that. Some look at me and say, man, he is like ancient, 46 years old. Others look and say, oh, he's still a baby. But others, some of you are in that age range. You understand where I'm coming from when I say I'm 46 years old, right? You get to a point in your life where your brain is writing checks that your body can't cash. How many understand what I mean by that? And so it's too easy to forget stuff. And so I need to be reminded, and they needed to be reminded. And what Moses asked them to do was to open the vault of their memory and remember. Everybody say remember. They had to remember what God had done for them, so that they could rejoice in what God was doing for them and then receive what God would do for them. Amen? That's that look that we said we need to take. That look back, that look around, and that look ahead. You know, your memory is a powerful tool. God has given you and me, he's given us a brain, he's given us a memory, and this brain of ours is capable of containing a lot of information. It would be nice if we could access it whenever we needed it. How many know what I'm talking about today, right? But we think of memory in terms of computers, right? We think that way. And so one estimation says this, that your brain can hold up to about 1 million gigabytes of information. That's a lot of information. And by the way, that is if you are average like me. Now, again, it would be nice if we could access all that information when we needed it. Young people, when you take a test, don't you wish you could remember all that stuff, right? When you're trying to get to where you're going or you get to the store and you didn't make a list and you said, oh, I'll remember it, and you get there and you forget everything and you pick up a bunch of stuff that you didn't go there for. How many know what I'm talking about, right? I do that all the time. It's so much fun. My wife loves that so much whenever I do that. I did it yesterday. There were sales yesterday of Christmas stuff, half off. I got some of that stuff. Yes. She wasn't as excited as I was, but she was tolerant, and I thank God for that. Right? But that's just how we are. We need to be reminded of stuff. See, there's a reason that God has given us this magnificent tool called memory. And the way to know that you and I can trust that God is doing something today and that God is going to keep doing something tomorrow is to remember what God did yesterday. Amen? Before we can look at the future, before we can do that, and before we can even fully live in the present, we have got to remember the past and we've got to learn from the past. See, here's the thing. There are those who are going to have to just make their own mistakes, and we call them hard-headed, right? They go to the school of what? Hard knocks. But there are those who can look and they can see the past, and God's word even tells us, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, these things happened to them beforehand as an example to you that you might not fall under the same judgment. Can we learn to look back and learn from others, amen, and even from our own life so that we don't keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want 2019 to be just like 2018. Can I get a witness in God's house today, right? If we want a different 2019, then we've got to stop, look, and listen. We've got to evaluate what 2018 was like. We got to say, hey, what worked? What do we need to stop? What do we need to start? And what do we need to get rid of? You understand what I'm saying today, right? Otherwise, 2019 is going to be just like 2018. And that's not what we want. That's not what God wants, because his desire is that we would grow. Amen? And so the way that we can do that is by looking back and understanding. And we need to do what Moses told them to do before they entered that promised land. Number one, the first thing he tells them to do is to remember. Verse 21, remember God's providence over your life. How many understand that God is in control? He really is. Providence, what is that? A place in Rhode Island? Yeah, it is, but not in this case, right? Listen to what he says here. It says, tell him, and this is what you're to tell your son when he says, well, what is all this stuff about? Right? Kids always ask, well, what is all this? What does all this even mean? Well, this is what it means. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Israel was poised to cross the Jordan because of God's providence in their history. God had reached down with his mighty hand and delivered Israel from the clutches of the most powerful nation on earth. I mean, we think of Israel as this mighty nation, this great army. They were the weak among the weakest. Listen, they were nothing in the eyes of the world, but they were everything in the eyes of God. And they were delivered from the most powerful nation on earth. You know, you can explain the providence of God or the fact that God is in control. One simple verse and something you want to hold on to, and you probably already know, and I hope you do. Romans 8:28 tells us what? It says, and we know that in all things, somebody say all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I can look back on my own life. I can look back on my own life and I can see the ways that God has been in control. I can see the ways that God has operated in my life. I remember the moment that God called me into the ministry and I said, God, I want to have nothing to do with that. I don't know if any young person or even older person my age or older than me. Listen, it's never too late for God to call you into ministry. Please know that. It's not like the draft, you know, in this country that once you hit a certain age, they can't draft you into war. No, you could be at any age and God could say, oh, by the way, I've known retired people over the years. In fact, one of our, I don't know if they're still out there on the field or not, but our Assemblies of God missionaries, he was an airline pilot for, I don't know, 40 years. And he retired and he thought he was going to settle down. And all of a sudden, God called him and his wife to the mission field. Well, he was already prepared for all that because he had already been all over the world and knew all these customs and all these places where he had gone to. Listen, if you're a young person, hear me. Do not resist the call of God. He's not going to mess your fun up. I promise you that. There is no more exciting ride in life than to follow the call of God in your life. And I can see that in my own life. Had I not finally said yes at a New Jersey district youth camp to God's call on my life, had I not said yes to that, I don't know where I'd be today. I really don't. I know I would not have gone to a place called Valley Forge Christian College, now the University of Valley Forge, by the way. When that happened, my degree got an upgrade. I was so happy about that. But it was there, my sophomore year, after just, you know, trying to force my way into relationship after relationship that freshman year. Learn from my mistake. Don't do that. Just wait for God. I finally said, God, I'm just going to submit this to you. And no sooner did I do that, that very next end of that summer, beginning of that next semester, I saw the most beautiful Puerto Rican girl I had ever seen in my life. There she was. Now, did it happen just like that? No, because before I even met her, I stalked her for like 2 weeks. Everywhere she was, I just magically appeared. And I'll never forget the day that she actually finally noticed me. Right? About 2 weeks in now, after 2 weeks, I'm just sort of, you know, there she is, and oh, she's over here now. Here I am. So they're all at the student center, and I'm just sort of, you know, doing my thing. Oh, and they're talking, let's go play volleyball. So I'm like, oh, okay, I don't play volleyball, but you know, I play basketball. I'm tall and all that. And so they had to make their way around the dorms to get to the gym, but I could cut through my dorm to get to the gym. So, you know, I just sort of casually walked back to my dorm, and then I walked through my dorm, you know, very quickly, and came out on the other side, and they were in the gym, they're playing volleyball, and she's there, and I'm just the only one on the bleachers just sort of sitting there, just, you know, minding my own business, just kind of watching this volleyball game, and there she was, playing volleyball, and I'm just like, wow, she is so beautiful, and it's just getting creepy at this point, right, because it's just stalking all this time, dude, you got to make a move, but here's the thing, I told God, Lord, I'm not going to make my own move, Lord. And listen, guys out there who are single, I'll never give you this advice. Do not wait for her to come to you. You hear me? You are not the prize to be won. And neither was I that day. But I had told God, I'm not going to force myself into anything again because none of that was working. So I said, Lord, if this is you, if this is real, you've got to bring her to me. And so at one point she sat down on the other side of that court. She got tired or she got sick of playing with the people she was with or whatever. I don't know. I remember what the situation was. But I remember seeing her there. I said, oh, now's my chance. I said, no. I told God I'm not going to do that. So as I'm having this wrestling match inside myself and I'm like totally losing, she all of a sudden gets up and begins to walk in that direction. I'm on this side of the gym. She's walking in that direction. And I'm just, of course, watching her, you know, as she goes. Trying not to be creepy, but man, she's just so pretty. And I think she's going to go into the weight room and say, well, maybe I'll go into the weight. No, I can't do that because I said I'm not going to force myself, but there's other dudes in there. Maybe I need to go in there. But she doesn't go into the weight room. She turns left, and now she's walking toward the exit. And I'm like, man, I should have gone and said something to her. Now I'm just going to blow this. But God, Lord, help me. She stops at the door, and she turns and she looks. I kid you not. She walks over. She sits down next to me. And on the outside, I'm just kind of chilling. And on the inside, I'm going, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. And she says, so what's your name? And we start to have a conversation, and we talk for maybe 5 minutes, and then everybody was leaving the gym, lights out, whatever. She says, so what are you doing now? And, you know, the smooth guy I am, I said, whatever you're doing. And, yeah, it was pathetic. It was really bad. But let me tell you something. 24 years later, we're married. Hello. Actually, that was 27 years ago because we dated for 2.5 years, got engaged, were engaged for 1 year, and then got married in 1994. But let me tell you, that was nothing less than God's providence. Do you hear me? I would not have, had I not responded to the call of God, because he invaded my situation, and that's another situation, that's another testimony for another time. But she finally noticed me. We got married, we graduated, we had four ministry opportunities placed in front of us all at once. As soon as we got it, what are we supposed to do? We can't be in four places at once. And so we had to decide, Lord, what are we gonna do? We went to every interview. We had an opportunity in Brooklyn Teen Challenge. We had an opportunity at Yonkers Assembly in Yonkers, New York. We had an opportunity in Bergenfield, New Jersey, with, at the time, Pastor Ralph Fiorelli. He was looking for a youth pastor. And we had an opportunity in Perth Amboy, New Jersey, in one of our churches in the Spanish Eastern District. And we're like, God, we don't know what to do. And so we went to these places, and we talked to the pastors, and everything sounded great. Yonkers sounded wonderful. Had a great salary, great benefits in the whole nine yards. And some people mistake cha-ching for the voice of God, and that's not always the case. And so we prayed about it, and we prayed for 2 weeks, and we did this thing that some people might think is silly, but we said, God, we really need you to speak to us. We don't want to influence each other. So we said, you know what? You pray for 2 weeks. I'll pray for 2 weeks. At the end of the 2 weeks, we'll get together. We'll write it down on a piece of paper. You write yours down. I write mine down. We exchange it. If it's the same, we know it's God. And we wound up in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. For 2 years, we were there as youth pastors at Iglesia Cristiana Monte Carmelo, where God just did so much in us, more in us than through us. But from there, because we were there, we wound up eventually after that in Bayonne, New Jersey, where we pastored at First Assembly of God for almost 15 years we were there. And from there, God orchestrated things to bring us to Newark. Newark, New Jersey, which is much different from Bayonne, New Jersey, which is much different from Perth Amboy, New Jersey, which is much different from Clayton, New Jersey, where I grew up, which is much different from the Lower East Side of Manhattan, where my wife grew up. But God orchestrated all these things and brought us to these places. Now, 7 years we've been at Central Assembly in Newark, which actually brings me to this moment to be with you here today. Aren't you blessed? I know I'm blessed. I don't know about you. We'll see by the end of this. But listen, God orchestrated all those things. See, we can look back and we can begin to connect the dots of events that took place on a daily basis, moment by moment, and we begin to see a pattern. And that pattern is different puzzle pieces somehow fitting together, not by coincidence, not by chance, but listen, by the plan of God. How many know that God has a plan? Amen? We call that divine providence. It's what God is doing. And again, these pieces are not circumstantial. These pieces are not accidental. They are providential. What does that mean? It wasn't by mistake. It didn't just, oh, it just so happened to work out that way. No, God did it. That's the bottom line. And when you look back and you see how God has worked in your life, you can know that God is working in your life and that God will work in your life. Amen? So we need to remember, first of all, remember the providence of God in our life. Secondly, remember God's presence in your life. Remember, God, look at verse 22. He says, before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. God wanted Israel to know that not only was he real, but that he was there. Amen? Listen, I think it's safe to say that we all believe that God is real. Amen? But sometimes we get in situations in life where we're going, God, where are you? We need to know, and this is why we've got to look back and say, yeah, God was there and God was there, and guess what? Because God was there and there, he's also here. And when we get to the future, guess what? He's already been there. He's already made the way. He's already set the path straight. He's already taken care of it for you and me. Amen? Because he's a faithful God. It's what he does. He wants us to remember his presence. He does it to manifest his presence in our lives, making us aware that he's there, right? Manifesting his presence is God's way of letting us know, hey, I'm in control. I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. I've got your back, right? Did people still say that, I've got your back? Guess what, church? He's got your back. He's got your front. He's got you on either side. That's what the word says. He hems me in behind and before. What does God's word tell us? That the angel of the Lord, what? Encamps around those who fear him. God has got you above and below and all around. Amen? He does that to let us know that. Let me ask, have you ever gotten a phone call or an email or a text message from somebody at exactly the moment you needed to hear that or read that? And it's like, wow, God is really speaking to me here. See, God is not just in the big things of life, church. He's in the little things, too. The things that we consider little, the things that we consider inconsequential, the stuff that we don't think is a big deal, to God it is. Because his word says that he directs the steps of those who what? Belong to him. Amen? The steps of those who are righteous. Now, a step isn't much, is it? It doesn't say he directs the long leaps that they take. No, it's just the little steps. He directs those things. The stuff that we think is no big deal to God is a big deal because you're a big deal to him. How many know that? I hope I'm a big deal to him. Amen? This is how God feels about you and me, and he lets us know that. Right? So sometimes stuff just comes our way, and we just need it at that particular time. Maybe you've run into somebody and just made all the difference in your day. I can remember when we were pastoring in Bayonne, there was, you know, you're out and about in town, and I don't remember where I was going, but I parked my car, and I got out of my car, and all of a sudden I heard somebody call my name, hey, pastor! And I turn around and look, it's one of my church members, and later on he told me that he was on his way to do something he shouldn't do, and the second he saw his pastor, he was reminded, you better not do that. And he turned around, and after he saw me, he went the other way, and he went back home. Amen? God will bring people in your path just to remind you that he sees you, that he's there, that he's with you, right? God did that to me in Puerto Rico. I said Puerto Rico. Some people woke up again, right? Remember the first time we were, my wife and I were ever there. We had wanted to go. Finally, 2007, that summer, July in Puerto Rico. Whoa! Time to go is December, January, February, March, April. You start hitting May, June, July. It's like, yo, August, forget it. September, you might blow away. You know what I'm talking about, right? But we were there, and we were only supposed to be there for about a week. And so by the end of the week, she was missing the kids, but I was just beginning to unwind at the end of that week. So she's like, you know what, why don't you stay another week? I'm like, really? She's like, yeah, you can stay another week. And so she gets on the plane and she goes. But here's what wound up happening. We got there, never been there before. Kid you not, you've been to Puerto Rico, raise your hand. Old San Juan, raise your hand. You know, there's a parking garage. We parked in a parking garage. You probably know the parking garage I'm talking about because it's the parking garage everybody parks in. And so we come out of the parking garage. We had not walked two blocks, and I hear somebody go, "Pastor!" And I'm thinking, no, there's absolutely no way. That there's got to be another pastor. "Pastor!" No, it's not. We look at each other. We keep walking. "Pastor Munyon!" I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. And there, seated at an outdoor cafe along, I forget the name of the street that was there, was a couple from Bayonne whose wedding I had done. I said, wow, that's really crazy. So I told you my wife, she left and I stayed. I bring my wife to the airport and I'm there waiting for her to check her luggage in. And there's a whole line behind us. And you just sort of turn, you're looking around, see what's going on. And there's some people in the back going like this. I'm like, babe, are they waving at us? She's like, I don't know. She looks back, people that we know from Jersey City who are on their way home. Like, wow, this is crazy. How does this even happen? There's a reason I'm telling this story, so just bear with me. So my wife leaves. The next day, I go to El Morro, because I love all the historical stuff. I'll read everything and just, you know, check everything out, take a million pictures, right? I'm walking by myself in El Morro, and there's this crowd coming toward me, and this guy steps out from the crowd, and he goes, "Pastor, it's so good to see you." I'm like, God, you've got to be kidding me. What's happening here? Members from Hope Center Tabernacle in Jersey City who just happened to be there at the same place on the island that I was at the exact same moment. And what God said to me in that moment was, no matter where you are, I'm with you and I see you. You are not alone. Amen? As alone as I felt. Hear me. We need to remember the presence of God. He'll send people our way. I can remember on a Sunday morning service, had to be about at least 10 years ago at this point, there was a young person in our church in Bayonne there that we were pastoring at the time. She was going through a hard time emotionally and spiritually, and she was always the one that was close to the Lord, always the one bringing people to church, always the one that was doing something for God, and now her life was under attack. How many know what I'm talking about here, right? You can anticipate that when you go all in for Jesus, I promise you, because Satan's not going to just sit back and let that happen. But she was under all kinds of just emotional turmoil and confusion, just started to kind of invade her situation, and she was starting to become very rebellious in her spirit toward God, toward her parents, toward the church, toward all of us, but she was there. And then the altar time came, and the altars were just filled with people, and the whole time I knew God was dealing with her, but I could just see just her countenance, her expression, her body language, everything was just no, no, no. And at that moment, she got out her cell phone and she sent a text message to her friend who was not in service that day, explaining how she felt in that moment. And here's where it gets interesting. This altar service was going much longer than it normally does, and I had just finished praying for a few people. So as she texts her friend, she sent that text message, I walked back over to the seat on the platform where my phone was to check the time because I wasn't wearing a watch like I am now. And I checked my phone, and I noticed that there's a text message on there from her. And I said, oh, this is weird. She's there. I'm here, and I got a text message from her. And here's the thing. Although she had sent the text message to her friend, listen carefully, young people, it came to my phone. Now, I know what you're thinking. No, she just sent it to the wrong person. No, because after service, I said, show me. I'll explain what happened in a minute. I said, show me your phone. No, it says, Joanna, sent. My name's not Joanna. I don't have Joanna's number. Joanna never got the message, but Pastor did. Explaining how she felt, explaining how she just wanted to get out of there, how she just couldn't stand being there anymore, and she just wanted to run away where nobody could find her, and she didn't want anybody to pray for her or touch her or anything. I said, for some reason it came to my phone, let me tell you, that was God. Young people, listen, be careful what text messages you send. They might go to your pastor's phone, all right? But as a result, I called her up. I said, come here. And I showed her the phone, and her eyes got real big. And she said, I didn't send that to you. I said, it looks like you sent it to me. And so we found all that later on, that she meant to send it to her friend, and she did send it to her friend, but it came to me instead. But here's what that showed her. Right then and there, it was a reminder that God was very aware of her situation and loved her enough to redirect a text message to her pastor's phone just so she could be ministered to. It was God's way of saying, I know what you're going through, and I love you, and by the way, I'm going to send it this way instead. We have those reminders of God's presence in our lives, and I want us all to remember something. God is always present in our lives. Amen? We may not always be aware of it, but Jesus' promise stands true. He said what in Matthew 28:20? Surely I am with you most of the time. No. Surely I am with you always, he said, to the very end of the age. Amen? We want to remember God's providence. We want to remember God's presence. Thirdly, he said we want to remember God's provision. Somebody say provision. You know, everything we have comes from God. Verse 23, look at it with me. It says, but he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. Look at that phrase again. He brought us out to bring us in. Make sense? It's simple. Brought us what? Out. So you're not with me. He brought us out to bring us in, right? This morning, you went out of your house so you could come into church. Hello. Later on, you're going to go out of church so you can go into maybe a restaurant or somewhere else where you're going to eat food, right? He brought us out, right, to bring us in. And this is one of the greatest phrases in God's word that we need to remember. See, God did not bring Israel out of Egypt so they could starve to death for lack of food. He could have starved them in Egypt if he wanted to. Or to dehydrate from thirst for lack of water. Or to die at the hands of some other enemy. The Egyptians wanted to kill them anyway. No, he brought them out. Say this with me. He brought them out that he might bring them in, right? He did that for them. Now, I want you to remember that whenever you are in trouble, because trouble will come, how many know that? 2018 was filled with problems. 2019 is going to have its own. You're going to find those places. 2018 had its high points and its low points. 2019 is going to have the same, right? But whenever you are in trouble, listen, God will bring you out of that trouble to bring you into triumph. Can I get a witness in God's house today? Because that's the God that we serve. The Apostle Paul said this in Philippians 4:19. He said, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Listen, God doesn't supply most of our needs. He doesn't supply many of our needs. He supplies how many? All of our needs. Amen? I promise if you will take a moment and look back at the ways that God has provided for your life, it will blow your mind. But here's the thing. There's an old Jewish saying that says, eaten bread is quickly forgotten, right? I mean, do you remember what you had for dinner 2 weeks ago? No. Do you remember what you had for dinner two nights ago? You have to think about it. You might remember, but bet you right now you can't tell me, unless it was leftovers from Noche Buena, right? Like I had. Hello. Eaten bread is quickly forgotten. If we don't stop and think about what God has done for us, the blessings, we stand around with this worldly attitude and say, God, what have you done for me lately? Hello. God has done so much for you and me that we've got to remember it to know that he's working in our lives today. I mean, I could tell you about the time early in our marriage. In fact, we had just come to Bayonne. We were over in the Hudson Mall, and we were walking around, and, you know, you're walking around. You ever just look down and you see something? And had you not looked down, you wouldn't have seen it, but you saw it there. And you know what I looked down and saw? A $50 bill. Hello. Not a $5 bill. Didn't have Abraham Lincoln on it. It had $50 bill. Like, whoa. I looked at my wife. She looked at me, and I picked it up, and there were some other people standing around, and I wasn't going to be a thief. I'm not one of those people. That happened to my wife one time. I wanted to bury the guy right there that did that. But so I picked it up, and I walked over to this couple, and we said, hey, did you guys lose any money? And the boyfriend, you know, he takes out his wallet, and he's looking around. He said, well, his girlfriend slaps him and says, you didn't lose nothing. Keep walking. And they kept walking, and there was nobody around, nobody looking for it. We stood around for a little while. It was exactly what we needed that week for groceries. Went to the store, got what we needed after nobody claimed it, and said, well, God provided for our needs. I could tell you about the time that my wife and I are driving, and you know it's late at night, and I wasn't paying attention to the gas tank. Gentlemen, pay attention to the gas tank if you're driving, okay? It was midnight, 12:30 in the morning, on this secluded road out in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in South Jersey, and all of a sudden, we're riding, and everything starts to slow down, and I pull off to the side of the road, and I look down, and that thing is below E. It wasn't even like, you know, playing games. It was dead. It was like that. What are we going to do now? And then a car pulls up behind us. Headlights are there. Nobody's around. We're thinking, what is about to happen to us here? And these guys come over. They knock on the window. Do you know what wound up being? Two Baptist missionary kids who were studying at Philadelphia College of the Bible, who were on their way somewhere at 12:30 in the morning, where I don't know, picking up an Assembly of God pastor to bring him to the gas station. How many know God is in something like that? Amen? And we find all these reasons to disagree with each other, and God just says, I'm going to bring you all together. And you're going to help him get gas, and he's going to get to where he has to go, and you're not going to accept the money, and you're all going to be blessed. God does that. He provides for us like that. Amen? I could tell you how back in 2014, I lost my job, and that your job, I thought you were a pastor. Yeah, since being in Newark, I'm bivocational, sometimes trivocational. I work at the church. I'm the pastor, Pastor Earl. When I'm not Pastor Earl there, I am Mr. Munyon at Newark Educators Community Charter School as an associate teacher in a fourth grade classroom. Please pray for me. How many, any teachers here? Or if you teach, so you know where I'm coming from. What grade? I knew you looked familiar. We need to talk after service. All right. You need to give me some information. My kid, I need to know some stuff. Maybe I can tell you some stuff, too, and we can, you know, communicate that way and freak them out. But anyway, man, some of these kids, teachers, you understand where I'm coming from. These kids have issues, and some of their issues are their parents. Because when you see the kid and then you meet the parent, you go, oh, that's why. Now I get it. Lord, help us all. So I do that, and I'm also an Uber and Lyft driver. So, you know, if you take Uber or Lyft, I appreciate 5 stars. Thank you very, very much. But back in 2014, from 2012 to 2014, I worked as a hospice chaplain for a hospice agency located in Bayonne that served all of North Jersey. And at that time is when all the corporate hospital takeovers were happening, CarePoint and Barnabas Health and Robert Wood Johnson, and all these places were coming under, and they started opening up their own hospice programs, and all the independent hospices were shrinking. And so they had 2 chaplains, which I was one of, the higher paid chaplain. They said, well, we only need him now. We don't need you anymore. Goodbye. And so it was, what am I going to do now? This is how I was providing for my family. This is how I was paying my bills. But I could tell you from that time that I stopped working there to the year and a half it took me to find this present job at Newark Educators Community Charter School, which you're going to pray for me in regards to, we did not miss a meal. We did not miss a mortgage payment. God provided every step of the way. And let me tell you, we didn't have money. Give God praise for that. We didn't have money sitting in the bank just saying, oh, we'll just use this. No. Unemployment ran out, and unemployment is like, you know, 2/3 of whatever you get. It wasn't much. And once that ran out, it was like, God, what are we going to do now? Every single month, God provided. That mortgage was paid. There was food on the table. My kids didn't go without. Why? Because God's provision was in our life. I could tell you testimony after testimony. If you look back, you will remember, and you will see God's provision in your life. Amen? And I've only got one more point. Somebody say praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more point, and then I'm going to turn it back over to my brother. Actually, we're going to do something else first. All right. Last thing is this. We said so far what? Remember, if you're writing stuff down, you better know this. Remember God's providence. There we go. Remember God's providence. What does that mean? He's in control. Number 2, remember God's, we got them for Christmas, but it sounds like that, presence. Remember God's presence. Spelled differently, you know what I mean, right? Remember God's provision. God has provided for you and me, amen? And the last thing I want us to remember today, remember God's protection over your life. Remember God's protection over your life. Verse number 24, it says, the Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive as is the case today. Are you alive today? You know why you're here? Because God has protected you. Because God has seen to it that you would be here. Israel's fate and Israel's future was in God's hands. And it's God that preserves, and it's God that protects, and it's God that provides. Amen? You know, we will be amazed, I believe, when we get to heaven someday, if God somehow lets us play back the replay of our lives, right? Maybe a little slow motion here and there. I want to see that again. But to see how many times we were protected from death and didn't even know it. We didn't even know it. And to this moment, we still don't know it. Psalm 68, verse 20 says this: "Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." Listen, we're not in 2019 yet, and there's no guarantee that we're all going to make it. How many know that? We're not there yet. We still got one more day. That's tomorrow. A lot can happen for the rest of today, let alone tomorrow. And we need to continue to trust the Lord no matter what. But it would amaze you. It would amaze me. How many times were you 2 minutes early? Or how many times were you 2 minutes late? That's usually me, 2 minutes late. Of what could have been your last moment on earth. How many know what I'm talking about, right? But God protected you. I think it would be a great exercise for any of us. And the worship team, if you could come at this time. It would be a great exercise for any of us or for all of us just to take some time to sit down. To reflect on the past. Listen, I know Netflix is tempting. Believe me, I know Netflix is tempting. I got it on my phone too. Sometimes when I'm sitting there waiting for my son to come out, I got Netflix on, was waiting, right? I know young people, any young people play Fortnite? I know, yeah, here he is right there. No, he doesn't play. Oh, he doesn't play. He laughed at it, so keep laughing at it. That's good. So many of these things take up our time. That we don't take time to think, to remember the things that God has done, to remember the way that God has blessed us, to see God's control over our lives, to see God's presence, to see the way God has provided, to see the way God has watched over us and protected us. We need to see the reminders that come to us on a daily basis that the God that has worked in the past is the God who is working in the present, is the same God who is going to work in the days ahead. Be that tomorrow or next year or 10 years from now, hear me. His word says this, Psalm 22, and I'm going to take this in a direction you maybe never heard it before. It says, "He inhabits the praises of his people." Amen? Now, when I read God's word, what I find is that in the Old Testament, God manifested his presence in Deuteronomy, right? Which we just read from, in the tabernacle. God manifested his presence there. The Bible says that he appeared as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And there's so much in that that we can't unwrap right now. But God made his presence known. Whenever the people came together to praise the Lord, when they dedicated the new temple, it says that the place was filled with the presence of God so that the priests couldn't even stand to perform their duties. They were prostrate before the Lord. God's presence was there. But then we come to the New Testament. We come to Jesus coming to this world, which we just celebrated his birth. And a few months from now, we will remember his work on the cross and the fact that he rose again and he ascended to heaven. But something took place while Jesus was on that cross. The Bible says that when Jesus cried out and he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he breathed that last breath, the Bible says that the veil of the temple, remember the temple, the place where God had restricted his presence to up until those days. It says the veil of the temple was ripped in half from top to bottom. Two things were happening there. Number one, understand that even to this day in Middle Eastern culture, when someone tears their garment, it's a sign of mourning. It's a sign of grief. It's a sign of emotion that can't be expressed verbally. It's tear their garments. That place where God had restricted his presence to, the garment that protected it, that stopped people, was ripped in half from top to bottom. Not only did it signify that was taking place in the heart of God, but it also signified the fact that the presence of God was no longer restricted there. That all could come into the presence of God. But now, guess what? The New Testament tells us that we are the temple of God. Amen? You and I are the temple of God. The presence of God now dwells within us by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Hear me today. He inhabits the praises of his people. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. Church, no matter what we're going through in life, if we'll stop and we'll look and we'll see God's providence and we'll see God's provision and we'll see God's protection and we'll see God's presence, we'll understand that He's there, that He's with us, that the very same pillar of cloud and the very same pillar of fire dwells inside of you and me if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the promise of His presence. That's the power that you live with. That's the power that you walk with. This is what we need to remember. God's faithfulness to you and to me. Amen. As we look back at our past and we remember everything God has done for you and me, we can know that the God who worked yesterday is surely working today and will continue to work tomorrow. And I've got a friend, and I'll end with this, that whenever we talk, I always say, his name is Craig. I say, Craig, how you doing? He says, let me tell you, but this is always his answer. He never says, oh, I'm fine, everything's cool. No, he always says this. He says, brother, I'm doing a whole lot better than I deserve. That's what he always says to me. And you know, no matter how difficult 2018 may have been for any of us, and regardless of the circumstances that we're presently encountering, the truth is that because of Jesus, we're doing a whole lot better than any of us deserve. Amen? And sometimes the only way that we can come to that realization is if we take time to reflect, to remember what God has done, so we can see what God is doing. And we can trust that He's going to continue to be with us in the days ahead. Amen.